As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
How do I sound now? Sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show,
Monday through
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
It's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. Marcus Thompson out with the Warriors, trying to figure out how to get out of that 3-1 hole. So my man Jay Adande pinch hitting, as only Jay can, the Vic Davalio of Northwestern University. Thank you for
Manny
jumping
Mota.
In here. Huh? Manny
I'm
Motor.
A Dodger guy, so Manny Motor is my guy when it comes to pitching.
Jay, we had to have somebody that knew what the hell they were talking about when it comes to playoffs. My guy, I saw him at Salt, and somehow you were in Utah during All-Star weekend and got out alive. My man, Vernon Maxwell. What's up, Max?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me, man.
Man, I was going to ask you. I didn't get a chance to ask you, man. Because you were doing stuff with the Retired Players Association, you came back in and was with all the other guys. But man, you knew it was in Salt Lake. Were you feeling some kind of way before getting on that plane?
Before I got there, I thought, man, y'all got to have some damn security out there. And I've been getting death threats and all kind of shit. So
right.
But they was like, nah, Vern, you all right? We're gonna be in the team's hotel and in the players. Guys hotel. Yeah. We have security there, you'll be fine, so don't worry about it. So yeah. But I felt protected once they told me that, and then I had guys around me too, so like I was good.
Okay, all right. Yeah. We're taking no chances. That's a smart thing. Man, we wanted you on, man, because we wanted to talk to you. You know what guys are going through this time of year when you get deep into the playoffs. You were on those Rockets teams in 93, 94, and 95. And you know what the pressure's like. And I that's what I fail to, like, get across to people is the pressure that the guys feel. Because, you know, this is what you work all your life for, is to be on this stage, right? And so now you're on the stage and you feel confident, but you're playing another good team too. You know, and I just wonder what it's like going through that when you're at the pinnacle of your profession, but you still got to perform, or otherwise you could get clowned if you play badly in the playoffs.
I mean, it's what you play the game for, you know, to get to this point in the game, and you want to be on the biggest stage. And it is, you know, a lot of pressure game in and game out. I mean, but this is what we program ourselves to do. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, I mean, you can tell the difference when you walk in the arena, you know, you know, you can feel the pressure when you walk in the arena, you know, so, you know, it's a different game than a regular season game. But I feel like, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's what we pride ourselves on. This is where we want to be at in our careers. I mean, especially on the highest level you can play on. And then, I mean, you got to be able to go out and perform. I mean, shit. I love it. This is the time of the year I want to play in, you know, because every game counts.
You know, Vernon, I think back to the 94 finals. I covered that series, and, you know, Akeem Olajuwon and Patrick Ewing kind of canceled each other out. Like, you knew what you were going to get from those guys. So really the games were decided by you know, whether it was going to be you or Derek Harper for the Knicks or John Starks or Kenny Smith, your teammates, like the role players, which one of you guys was on, that was going to swing the game. And so I wondered if you took that on and you talked about the pressure, did you feel like you guys were the deciding factors in those series?
Well, we knew they were going to cancel each other out, like you said. But, you know, and every night in that series, it was going to be somebody that stepped up. Like for instance, game three, Sam stepped up, made a big three at the end,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Real big three for a rookie to come in and step up and make that shot. So, and then in game four, you know, John Starks and Derek Harper, I felt like they outplayed us in that game, you know, and felt like they pretty much outplayed us the whole series, be true about it. But I think game seven, I came out and had a pretty decent game seven, but I felt like they outplayed us, but I mean, it's like I said, man, you just gotta be ready and it's part of it. Like, especially here.
I was gonna say Lonnie Walker was ready in game four for the Lakers.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not gonna be, you know, we know Bron, we know Davis and we know, you know, those guys on, you know, Steph, and unfortunately Clay didn't play well last night. You know, he had a bad shooting night, but Draymond played well. I mean, but I'm just saying, you know, it's going to be somebody else to step up besides those guys, you know, Bron and Steph, they're canceling each other out, but somebody that come off that bench, man, and come in there and give the team that lift. And that's what Lonnie Walker did, man. But that's the kind of player he is. He plays with no conscience, you know what I mean? So that's the way you got to be like this time of the year.
You know, I was going to say, Vernie, it's like you got to be arrogant, right? Like you have to have that kind of mentality to play at this level, right?
A chip on your shoulder, but I'm ready. I mean, shit, I belong here, you know? It speaks volumes for that kid, Lonnie, because I mean, the way they play him, you know what I mean? For him to step in and do that, man. I mean, like I always said, man, when I play, you know, he's playing for 32 other teams, man. So 31 other teams, man, you know, so you're putting on, you know, you're putting this display on for other teams too. So, you know what I mean? Kudos to old Lonnie. You know, he stepped up last night. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, that was impressive, man. I mean, the dude wasn't playing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't, not like he was in the rotation. Wasn't playing.
Going to it. Yeah. They were going to get buckets. Yeah, they was going.
Yeah, in the fourth quarter, like not, you know, second, second quarter, you know, give somebody a rest. Like, no, fourth quarter crunch time.
But it mattered, though. The buckets that he made, man, those big buckets. Because, I mean, it wasn't like they were going back and forth there. And that was big for him, man. I mean, old Florida boy with no conscience, man.
You know,
Dave, I looked it up. Vernon had 21 points in that game seven.
Yeah, I know.
So he did more than okay.
He was better than Ike.
Right. Third leading scorer in the game.
You know what I'm saying? Like game seven, my man Starks was 3-for-18.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, I'm glad he shot bad that damn day.
We're sitting there going, Riles, why'd you get Roe Blackman, man?
Glad he kept John in there, man. Good God.
Damn.
The other thing I've been thinking about that series, Vernon, is as we watched the Knicks back in the second round for like the first time this century or something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you played there in the finals. And Madison Square Garden has become such a character in these playoffs because we're seeing it packed with fans again. We're seeing that atmosphere. What was it like to play in that building in the NBA Finals?
Man, it's one of the best buildings ever played in. You know what I mean? Being in that building in the finals, it was so electric. And I mean, just the stars and the players, you know, came out, and it was crazy, man. And I mean, it's one of my favorite places to play. Besides, you know, playing and, I love playing in the Garden and I love playing in the Forum too. So, you know, those old places like that, I love playing in those buildings like that. But that's my favorite right there in New York, man, because the stars come out, they playing that music in there, all the women out there. Oh, my goodness. It's just crazy, man. So it's a lot of stuff before the game starts, you know, you to get you off the get your mind off the game. So,
Bird, I got to tell you, man, I don't get starstruck. I really don't, because you just can't. In our line of work, you have to kind of keep it level. You know what I'm saying? That's the one place, New York and L.A., the one place that you look courtside and you go, oh my God. God. That's whoever. That's Halle Berry. That's Kate Upton. Like, oh my, she's right there.
I was about, my thing was, I was looking at Madonna. I was like mesmerized. I was like, oh shit, look, this is damn Madonna. Look at this shit. I can't believe it. I know she was looking at damn Mad Max. It's crazy as hell. That's about two quarters. I was like, what the fuck is that? That's Madonna. I could not believe it.
So yeah, I've never talked to any of the guys in this game. Were you aware in game five as the OJ Bronco chase is going on? Like, did you have any idea, like, before the game, or were you aware what was happening during that game?
No, we didn't know. Somebody had told us after the game was over, man, like my peoples, I was talking to them after the game. They said, man, God, man, we didn't even see the whatever court it was. Damn. Man, OJ getting chased down to him and Al, getting chased down the damn highway. They switched over to that. Man, we was mad as that, who got chased down the highway? So that, like, damn, so OJ must have did it. Why is he running? That's what I was saying. God damn, I was trying to be the judge, the jury, and all this shit. And then I said, God damn, he looked like he's guilty. He's racing out the way. So, but that's when we found out after the game, man. But it was crazy, man.
That was crazy.
A lot of shit happened during that series.
Man, I was actually covering football during that year for some reason. I don't even know why. But, Jay, I told this story before. I was sitting in the press room at Redskins Park with Heath Shuler,
who
was the quarterback.
Yes.
And we're sitting there, and Heath goes, David, he was from Bryson City, North Carolina. He goes, David, I don't think he did it. And I looked at him, and I said, Heath, even black people think he did it. What's his
did. Jump back on our side. He wasn't even fucking with us. Then we tuck him back, you know, black.
You know what I'm saying?
I get that shit again, though.
Right?
So, Vern, the capper of that night. So, Pat Riley's doing his press conference after the game. And some fans, so, you know, the way the media setup was there, like the fans, the courtside fans could kind of come in and out of the media area. So, right. This fan sitting there at the back of the press conference room holding up his beer. So, they're like, any more questions for Pat Riley? Guy raises his hand. He's like, hey, Pat, you think if OJ cuts left instead of right, he would have made it?
They'd have got away. Oh, my goodness, man. It was a crazy series, man. I swear. Man.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominant Dominic Toretto I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Ver, what do you like looking for this time of year when you're watching playoff games with the fellas or with your sons or whoever? What are you looking for?
I like to see a good game. I hate this time of the year to see blowout games. I just don't understand that part of the shit. That shit just baffles me. I can't register that shit. I don't understand how you get blowed out in the playoffs. I mean, I don't understand that part. I mean, I've never seen it like this. Teams be getting beat by 40.
Yeah.
But I think it is. It's just teams are shooting so many threes now, and it's so unreliable, right? You can get hot one game, you can get cold the next game. And I really think that's what it is. That's why you just have this variance. It just depends on who's hot or not from three.
Hey, you're right about that, too. I mean, they live and die by that three ball, too. I mean, it's no in that shit, you know? It's either you're going to shoot the three or you're going to get all the way to the basket. There's no middle, no. Right. The mid-range is gone. It's a lost art in the game nowadays. Guys don't want to do it. They're either going all the way or they're going to pull them. Are they going to shoot back three and all that? That's the toughest damn shot. And I think that's the worst shot in basketball. But James, I think it's a bad shot for him because he's mastered it. But for a lot of these guys, like Poole and them just be sliding back and shit. Yeah. Like, damn, I'd be like, well, he slid back 5 feet.
Right.
And 5 footer.
Right.
It's just, I don't know what these kids trying to prove and what they, but they the game is, it's hard for me to watch sometimes. That's why I fall a lot during the playoffs.
I hear you, man, because I'm not saying you have to go all the way back to the 80s and the 90s the way they played back then, but you got to have some balance between offense and defense.
And it's a lot of, I hate to say it, there's a lot of bad players too in the NBA. A lot of bad players. I mean, a lot of them be playing it was CBA back then. They'd have been CBA. A lot of them motherfuckers would have been the goddamn CBA.
Right.
A lot of them, man. I mean, a lot of them guys, man. These guys do not know how to play. And that's why it's so young. They're so young, though. You know, and they let them in so young, you know, back when we had to do at least 3 years, I think.
Right.
So, you know, and they're just so young now. I hate to say it, a lot of them ain't in there for the right reasons. Mm. I don't think they really, really actually love that shit like we used to love that shit. I love that shit. You know,
I think we lost him. He'll get back on in a second. I need to ask him about, he played 4 years. He played 4 years at Florida. You know what I'm saying? Like he would have been out after his freshman year, like he was saying, he'll be back on in a second. But that's what's crazy to me. Like he's the second all-time leading scorer in the SEC. Number two. Really?
After Maravich?
Yes.
Wow.
Number
he's
two.
He's second after, and wow. Wow.
That's because he played 4 years in college, you know, like I'm saying. So that's crazy. And it's just so different now. Yo, man, we were just talking about you're the number two all-time leading scorer in the SEC.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No, that's all good. But you played played 4 years at Florida.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell you would have played 4 years in Florida now, right? I mean, no. You would have come out after freshman year.
I'd have been one and done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easily, yeah. I mean, but and I think that's what a game and it doesn't messed up the a lot of these guys, you know, go and be one and done. They don't be ready. Then when they get there, they have to teach them how to play and teach them the NBA way. And it's like when we came in, you know, I was older when I got there. I was 22 years old, going on 20, and I was grown.
Yeah,
you know. I was ready and I was seasoned. I understood the game. And And so, but I just think they're just so young now when they let them in there now, man. They just know they're going to be one and done. And it's just, I just think they need to make them work more harder to get there, not be so accessible, so easy like it is. It's easy now to make it to the NBA. If they quote unquote say you one of those guys, you got to really do, you just got to stay out harm's way. And then you're going to go high. Like, you know what I mean? They position these guys like all like LeBron. They position him to go in the top 10.
One guy looks like he knows what he's doing is Devin Booker. Watch this guy this last weekend. What do you see when you're watching Devin Booker play in these playoffs?
Oh, man, he locked in, killer. Like they, like Stephen A. call him the bright skin Mamba. He's a killer, man. I mean, unstoppable right now, doing anything he wants to do. The leader, best, playing better than anybody besides Joker in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
Those numbers of Joker's putting up the shit. So, I mean, who does this shit, man? Come on now. I mean, this is crazy, man. But Booker shooting the percentages that he's shooting, man, and doing the things he's doing out there, man. And, man, he's locked in. He can't miss. I mean, it's amazing.
Vern, I always wonder, when you get on a heater, what that feels like, man.
Oh, man, it's like throwing it in the ocean. Anywhere you throw it up there, it's going to go in. Like you're throwing the ball in the ocean.
Yeah.
And you can't miss that ocean now. You're throwing a ball out, just throwing the ball out. So that's how it's just wide open and big like that. You just, yeah, that's how it feels. Like you're just throwing it in the ocean. Every time you throw it, it's going to go in.
Yeah. What was the first one you got on in the pros as a pro?
Probably when when I caught on that 50 and 90, 91, I think it was when I hit the 51 in the fourth quarter. Yeah, that's when I felt like I was in that groove dead. So that's when I got to going.
Were you calling for guys? Were you? It seemed like in the 90s they weren't running as much, run that pick and roll to try to get the switch to isolate on somebody. You guys weren't doing that, right?
They were just running me off single doubles. We used to do that. Come off a single or a double, a stagnant screen or something like that. Then go from there. If they follow them chasing you, you just keep turning the corner. You know, if they try to go over the top, you fade, you know, and things like that. So we just knew how to get open. And that's what they were doing for me. We didn't run pick and rolls like that a lot. Right. We drop it down the dream and then we all spot up.
Right. I always thought your team, that's a team that could transfer right now to the NBA, and y'all would be.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like with the shooters y'all had, you know, like you would be. You play right now. You could play tonight. Yeah. You know,
the way we played is exactly. I mean, nobody wouldn't be able to stop Dream, so they'll be fumbling and stumbling trying to get down there to stop him, because when he decided he wanted to be a good passer, that's when we became Buzz. So
yeah. Yeah, and that was a process, right? That didn't happen right away.
Right, that was a process. That's what I'm saying. I mean, when he decided that he was going to be a passer and stop, you know, trying to win all the games by himself, that's when we became a better team like that.
Having been through that, does it give you an even greater appreciation when you watch Jokic and his passing ability, man, as a big man?
Give you so much energy on offense because, you know, he ain't looking to score at times, and everybody else knows when you cut hard, he gonna find you.
Yeah.
You know, make the right pass and make the right play. So that's fun to play with, man. I mean, when Dream started playing like that, you know, wanting to kick it out and jump up in the air and make the pass to us and stuff. That's when everybody was locked in on defense and offense now, because, you know, it could be anybody game that night, you know. So I mean, it's a blessing to play with a big guy like that. Look, like willing to pass and want to pass, but 4-2 and rebound.
Right. Well, Shaq talks about that, you know, how he had to learn how to see the double team, see where it was coming from, and know where to go with the ball. You know,
it's different. It takes time, you know, but once they do it to you all the time, you'll get used to it and you'll figure it out. You know what I mean? So,
Max, so much, you know, individual success, and then you had team success. And I just wondered, like, when you look back at your career, at the totality of it, are you satisfied? Or do you say, man, there was stuff I left on the table. I left some stuff on the table.
Yeah, I felt like I left some stuff on the table, Dave. Tell you the truth, man. I should have retired when I did.
Yeah.
I stayed playing because I felt like I had at least four or five more years left in me. I know, just sitting on somebody's bench, just being a mentor to the younger guys, you know, something of that nature. So, but I had so much left. And I could have played, you know, I feel like I could have played at least three more years, played like 10 games. I feel like I could have competed. But, and then just like a couple of, like me leaving the team with the Rockets the way I did, I wish I would have handled that better. Yeah. You know, like back then we didn't have people to like we can talk to and shit like that. Like these guys got, you know, the security guys with them and shit. They go back to the room. It wasn't just me. When I got back to the room that day and I was mad at Rudy T because of the way he played me, yeah. It was me in my room by myself. And just, I had to deal with all that shit and register all that shit. Mm-hmm. And I probably wasn't thinking clear, you know, yeah. Probably might have needed a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. On the site, one of those damn security guys that they have following those guys, you know, they be with those guys 99% of the time that they're, you know, if I could have maybe had a motherfucker with me and talked me out of that shit, Max, come on, man, let's just go get dinner.
Yeah.
Let's just go chill. And then, you know, don't make your rational decision right now because you're mad as hell right now. You know, we know how you is. So I probably, you know, but I probably would have handled it different. That's, I mean, pretty much it. I mean, other than that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of decisions, and we were just talking about Jokic, he had that moment with the owner of the Suns, Matty Spear, when Spear wouldn't give him the ball. And you know, Jokic called him a fan. I genuinely believe, David, do you believe he didn't know that that was the owner of the Suns?
He probably didn't. Like,
I don't even know if he did.
I don't think he did. Like, you know, it's just something.
I'm thinking, you know, Brandon, you were known to have interactions with fans at times. So what would have happened if that was you in that situation?
Yeah, I probably would have did the same damn thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Shot with a forearm, sit your ass down, and give him a damn ball. You know, I'd have shot his last one.
Right.
Pull the ass out the way. You know, fans grabbing the balls and holding on the ball. That's what the fuck he is. And he's sitting in that seat. You're a fan. Yeah. Get your ass out the way. That's right. Fucking ball. He ran over there, right. That's what I'd have did too. Ran over there and grabbed him. Hit the hell. Boom. I'd have hit him with 1-2. Get your ass out the way.
So Jokic was fine. There was some thought that he might have been suspended. Should anything have happened to Spear? He's holding the ball. He's delaying the game. He didn't touch.
That was bullshit.
Didn't touch Jokic.
If they were suspending him, that'd have been some bullshit.
Yeah.
That wasn't warrant for no suspension, man. That was just, man. Come on. Fans got to get the fuck out the way.
Yeah.
What about suspending Ishbia for a game?
The owner. What about the owner?
Yeah. His ass needs to be suspended, you know, because he's a fan. I mean, just like you do any other fan, you tell him, you'll tell him, okay, you suspend him for these amount of games or you're banned from the arena. His ass suspended for a game for just getting in the way. His ass, he knew what he was doing, though. But he was, hey, and you can tell it. You can tell the way he failed and shit.
Right, like he's trying to draw a charge and shit.
And like hell, it's just like he got like some, just like it, man, just man, it's just it would have been some bullshit if they had suspended. I'm glad they just took a couple of dollars from
him. Exactly, Vern. You should. I mean, dude, you should be talking to these young guys, man. I mean, this is right up your alley. Like these guys. I mean, there's so much about mental health now in the NBA, and rightly so. I mean, it's high profiles, a lot of money. You know,
I got a foundation about mental health. That's what I talk about all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. That's one of my big things I like to talk about.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, I talk to the league about it. And I want, you know, when those guys, when they be telling those guys come to orientation and shit, you know, I told them to let me come in and speak and let these motherfuckers know how it's going to be.
Exactly. You know,
tell them the highs and the lows of the shit.
Because nobody knows it better than you.
Right. There you go. Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
What more could these teams be doing on that front to look after the mental well-being of their players?
Well, they have to really talk about it, not be scared to have these motherfuckers sit down and listen to somebody talk about this shit. Because I think these kids, you know, when you get to like me, when I was playing the NBA, shit, I know I was mental health motherfucker. You know, I knew I had. Now that I know what you know, kind of the parameters that it is, you know, what it's about. And I was like, shit, that was me.
Yeah, yeah.
Sit back and think. So, and I was too macho to even try to, like I tell people all the time, I was too like worried about fucking what my peers and shit would have thought about me and shit if I would have went and said I was in, you know, like I didn't want the motherfucker about to think I was crazy. I motherfuckers already thought that.
Yeah, so, but that was the thing. We didn't have the terms, right? It was either you're right. Okay or you're crazy. You know, there was right. Nothing in between. There was no spectrum.
No, there's no middle. So that's why I just feel like, yeah, you got to be able to talk about it. And you have to make these motherfuckers sit down and listen to somebody talk about it. Right. It's a lot of those motherfuckers. And sometimes it could be with the way you was brought up, too. Sure. You know, motherfuckers just don't know. You don't think it's on you. But, it affects you in so many ways. You just don't understand. And then, like I tell people, you see these guys sitting on the corner and shit, and they might be sitting up there just talking to the damn self. That's a mental health patient, man. There's something wrong with that. Motherfucker standing on the corner with the shirt on. Yeah. You know, something wrong with that, man. Yeah. So, ain't nothing to laugh at. You know, yeah. Try to help a motherfucker.
Right. So, Vern, let me get you out on this, man. When you got a kid in college, you got a kid in high school, they both hoop, you know, like, and when you talk to them, how do you separate Pops talking to your kids from Vernon Maxwell, the former NBA player, talking to your kids? Because they both have value and worth to your children, right? Like, ain't nobody can tell your kids about the NBA better than you. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but you're still their dad too, you know? So how do you kind of separate those two, or do you combine them? I don't know.
Well, when we talk about ball, when they're at practice or when they, you know, but when they're off the court, I don't really bother them about it. Really. I just, you know, try to make sure, you know, they're way better than I was. You know, there's some good young men. You know, I can trust and believe they're going to stay out of trouble.
Right.
I didn't know all this other shit. That they don't drink and all this old crazy shit like I was doing. And they don't hang out. And, you know, one of them I'm a grandfather. So my oldest one at Georgia Tech, well, he's in the portal. He's not at Georgia Tech now. Probably going to end University of Hampton.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. But I separate the two. When we playing ball, I talk ball. And when I feel like the need to talk about ball after a game or something, I tell them something, you know, little stuff I saw or whatever. But I just make sure they're competing hard and playing hard. But as far as life, everyday life, I just tell them, as you know, black men, it's going to be hard out here. You got to make sure you get yourself you're lined up right where you can be a successful black man. Because if you don't, boy, it's going to be hard out here. Nobody ain't going to be taking care of you. So you got to be able where you can take care of yourself.
Right.
And that's the main thing. I just tell them before I leave off this earth, I just want to make sure all my kids aren't lying. They got their lives together and everybody's going to be okay. And then I can rest at peace then. So
I know you still talk a little shit, though, when you play a little pickup.
Ass out if they're out there playing like some little girls. You know, I'm a customer. Ass out now. Sometimes you have to light a fire up under these motherfuckers.
I'm sure you still got some buckets for him, too, if you're playing in the backyard.
Oh, yeah, I got them. Give them. I can't. Probably about one or two. That's about it. But the inside broke down.
That age undefeated, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you. Right, be 58 this year, man. So, yeah.
Damn, man, we're the same age? That doesn't even seem possible. Like, damn.
Man. Yes, sir.
Where did the time go, man?
Goddamn, I was telling my son the other day, my kids, I was talking about three of them on the call. And I was like, oh, man, y'all, just think, in 30 years, your daddy gonna be 88. Goddamn, now, how much longer? Goddamn, now, I hope I I'm saying, I'm just telling them, but damn, I mean, I'm on the shorter side of this damn numbers, nine than I was, you know, and I was like, just saying that, oh my goodness, 10 years ago, I was like, oh Lord, I got a little bit like, I got a little longer to go, I got, but now, like, oh, it's just getting scary.
Right. It's getting real now.
Yes, it's real.
Oh, man. Well, look, Vern, man, appreciate you coming on, man. The Maxed Out Podcast. Check it out. Vernon Maxwell 11 on Twitter is hilarious. He'll be clowning guys on Twitter. It's fantastic. Bro, it's been great.
And he survived Utah. He made it out of
Salt Lake City. Survived Utah.
Hey, y'all. I always looked up to y'all guys. I was good for me, man, when I was out there, man.
Man, so come on. You were good people, man. Bro. We all, everybody, great to us everybody in our profession loved you, man. You played and you talked. So that's what we need. So, man, look, y'all leave that 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. And Marcus, like Marcus would say, if you can't leave us 5 stars, keep it to yourselves, you haters.